The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We've got a lot to cover today in this segment of our podcast. So again, today we want to welcome at this time all of our podcast audience, those that will be watching the rebroadcast of this through our app, Rumble, YouTube, and every platform or whatever platform you may be joining us from. Again, I'm Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We are news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Today, I've got three topics I want to discuss today. Are we on the brink of war, more signs of inflation, and earthquakes in Israel? Are earthquakes in Israel a precursor to Bible prophecy being fulfilled? So let's get after this thing today. Let's start with our first segment today, or our first, we're going to kick off today by talking about the situation that is continuing to transpire in Russia. And before we do that, real quick, guys, we want to encourage you to, if you've not yet downloaded our free app, please go and do that. Again, it's available on Apple. It's available on Android. You can get that today. It's free. Just type in End Time Headlines in either the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. Get that into your hands. Get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our free podcast available for your convenience. And it's the best way to keep up with our ministry. Do not rely on big tech social media, because a lot of things we talk about gets blocked, it gets scrubbed, it gets censored, it gets shadow banned. So this avoids all that. And when you go there, you're going to find, and go to our website, you'll find all of our alternative places that you can follow with us. So check out these headlines, guys, coming in regards to the Russian-Ukraine crisis that's continuing to unfold. You have the Washington Post, the Associated Press, and an affiliate out of Russia, RT News. I'm going to read these headlines, and then we're going to talk about this a little bit. Ukraine and Moscow-backed separatist trade accusations of shelling and potential eastern flashpoint. Russia has expelled a top U.S. ambassador, and you can read this right here on your screen. The U.S. is considering its response after Moscow has showed a senior diplomat, Bart Gorman, the door.
Being overseas, Russia has reportedly added as many as 7,000 troops near Ukraine's borders.
This despite claims by the Kremlin that forces are being pulled back from that region.
Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed that troops would be pulled back from Ukraine's border. But White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Wednesday that withdrawal has not been observed yet.
There's, you know, what Russia says, and there's what Russia does, and we're watching very closely what steps they're taking, but they remain amassed in a threatening way at the border.
A senior U.S. administration official said Russia had increased its force near Ukraine by some 7,000 troops as recently as Wednesday. Now, estimates show Russia has amassed 150,000 troops east, north, and south of Ukraine.
More Russian forces, not fewer, are at the border, and they are moving, concerningly, into fighting positions. This is cause for profound concern.
This is from the Associated Press. I want to read this to you today. This is quite stunning, and this is happening in real time. The U.S. President Joe Biden said on Thursday there was now every indication that Russia was planning to invade Ukraine in the next few days and was preparing a pretext to justify, or in the terms in which we understand, a false flag event to trigger or to give pretext to a Russian invasion. This comes following a Ukrainian forces and pro-Moscow rebels trading fire in eastern Ukraine, guys. This happened recently. This is all breaking news. This is all escalating in real time. The Kremlin accused Biden of stoking tension and released a strongly worded letter in which said Washington was ignoring its security demands and threatened unspecified, quote, military technical measures. Moscow, according to reports, also ejected the number two official from the U.S. embassy early this morning as exchanges of fire between Ukraine and pro-Russian separatists have stoked an alarm. with Western officials who have long warned that Moscow could try to create a, quote, scenario, aka false flag, to justify an invasion, saying they believe that was now unfolding. Guys, this is strong verbiage that's coming from the White House, from this administration. Quote, we have reason to believe they are engaged in a false flag operation to have an excuse to go in.
Now, claims and counterclaims today. The Kremlin accusing the U.S. of fueling tensions after President Biden said again that he thought an invasion will happen in the coming days. Then in the east of Ukraine, Russian-backed separatists accused the Ukrainians of violating the ceasefire while launching an attack themselves, which hit a kindergarten. With tensions as high as they are, any provocation presents a serious danger when the stage is set for confrontation.
How high is the threat of a Russian invasion right now?
It's very high.
Why?
It's very high because they have not moved any of their troops out. They've moved more troops in, number one. Number two, we have reason to believe that they are engaged in a false flag operation to have an excuse to go in. Every indication we have is they're prepared to go into Ukraine, attack Ukraine. My sense this will happen within the next several days.
Now, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, why is this alarming? I had a discussion this morning with an individual about this. If you're a little bit older individual like myself, you will all remember the days leading up to 9/11 and how different the world was pre-9/11 versus post-9/11. After 9/11 happened, the world as we know it changed. America as we know it changed. Our culture changed. The way of life changed. Everything changed. And I don't know if it's just me that feels this, but I'm willing to believe that if I was to set you down today and I was to talk to you one-on-one, or if we did a poll right now, I believe that many of you feel the same as I do. You can feel the tension in the air. You can feel the animosity. You can feel the winds of change happening. You can feel like we are on the precipice of an entire shift, just like 9/11. Something is about, if this happens, if this quote unquote war happens and takes place, I believe this will be the event. Just like 9/11, it is going to change everything we know. And it's going to change our entire way of life, our culture, society, economy. We think inflation's bad now. Guys, I'm telling you, if this thing carries out, and people are on Facebook right now attacking me for talking about this, accusing us of fear-mongering. Again, we are simply reporting this. I am not in Washington. I am not a part of this administration. I am simply a mediator in between reading you and telling you and informing you of what's happening. And I'm telling you guys, I'm not saying it is going to happen. I'm saying if it does happen, if this is carried out and it does come to fruition, whatever the pretext is, whatever the purpose is, whatever the intent may be, whatever the gain is from it, from the West or from Russia, whatever. The point is, we, the average individual, the citizens, will suffer as a result of this. Our way of life will change. So this is something we need to be in heavy intercession about and heavy prayer about, because this is happening in real time. All right. So this is taking place. It's going to be interesting. We got to keep our eyes. Today is Thursday. Let's keep an eye on the next 48 to 72 hours to see what happens. Now, look, the Wednesday deadline came and went. Remember all that? Remember the alleged warning the Ukrainian president was told by his sources that Russia was going to attack on Wednesday, and he warned about it, and then he retracted the statement. Well, Wednesday came and Wednesday went and nothing happened. Does that mean nothing's going to happen? No. I'm just telling you again, if it does, then get ready, because everything we know is going to change, and I believe it's going to happen quick. It's going to happen swift, and I can't even begin to elaborate and go into detail on what that looks like across the entire field. But I want to shift gears, because I told you we've got a lot to cover on here. So we're going to keep an eye on this. We're going to pray about this. But meanwhile, while this is going on, I want to give you five new numbers. This is an article written by Michael Snyder, so we want to credit him for that. Five new numbers, or I'm going to give you five stories that prove that America's horrifying inflation crisis is only getting even worse. And again, this is pre-war. So everything we're about to show you will be magnified if and when this thing is carried out in a war with Russia and Ukraine and America being involved in it. So let's talk about this for a second. This crisis that we're in appears to be just in the early stages. The following are five numbers that indicate that the inflation crisis in the U.S. continues to get even worse. And guys, it's not just limited to the United States. I know we got people that will be hopping on here that is from all across America or all across the world. We got people from Europe. We get people on here from even from as far as in parts of Africa. So everybody's feeling this. But again, I want to focus on America. People ask me, why do I talk about America so much? Because I am an American. This is where I live. This is my earthly citizenship. So I feel like the Lord has given me a voice to be a voice here in America, one of the watchmen for America. It doesn't mean I turn a blind eye to what's going on in the world events. But again, many things that happen outside of our nation doesn't affect me primarily. So I hope that gives you a clear understanding of that. Number one, the producer price index has risen at a rate of 9.7% over the previous 12 months, according to a report from CNBC. The producer price index, which measures, because I know some of y'all is like, the what? This index measures final demand goods and services. It has increased 1% for the month against the Dow Jones estimate for 0.5% over the past 12 months. The gauge rose an unadjusted 9.7%, close to a record in data going back to 2010. According to Snyder's report, last week we learned that the consumer price index has risen again by 7.5% over the previous 12 months. Of course, if the consumer price index was still calculated the way it was back in 1980, the real number, and that's important, because I believe what we're being told and what we're being reported is probably just a surface level of what's really going on. I don't think they're going to give us the full extent of what it really looks like. Come on, guys. Do I need to elaborate why? There'd be such panic, such fear, pandemonium, perplexity, distress. The real number would actually be more than double the official number that we were just given. All right, number two. Truck trailer prices in January 2022 were 29.6% higher than they were in January 2021. A shortage of parts and labor has sent the prices of truck trailers through the roof. Truck trailer prices jumped 3.1% in January. Data, according from the Department of Labor, showed recently that followed a 3.8% increases in December. Compared with 12 months ago, trailer prices are up 29.6%, by far the largest one-year jump in records going all the way back to 1980. Number three, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics is telling us that the price of used vehicles.
One of the most visible broken links in the global supply chain, a shortage of computer chips. Critical components in everything from PCs to cell phones, refrigerators to new cars. The shortage blamed for much of the inflation surge.
Everything from cars to dishwashers are delayed getting to showrooms and customers, just as demand for them is up because the economy's growing.
80% of chips are made in Asia, just 12% in the U.S. Today, a major expansion of America's chip production touted by President Biden, with Intel announcing a new $20 billion chip factory in Ohio.
Here's the deal. America invented these chips.
Welcome news as car dealer lots across the country are far more empty than full. Inventory is low, demand is soaring, prices have skyrocketed. New cars now average $47,000, up more than $6,200 in a year. Used car prices up 28% to $29,000. Vicky Taylor is shopping for a used pickup.
Get a good rate if you get 100,000 miles, but who wants that? Who wants to pay for that? So that's where we are.
Looking for a new car? Bellamy Strickland Automotive, south of Atlanta, normally has 300 cars on the lot. Today, just 14. Many customers now order without even a test drive.
We have customers coming from three states away. If we have a certain vehicle that's coming inbound, that they say, we'll take it, we don't care, here's the money, let us know when it gets here.
And selling at full price or even more.
The experience that I had going to the local Honda dealership was that they had a $5,000 markup on the car I wanted, and that was not negotiable.
To get the make, model, and options Jay Ho wants, dealers have told him to shop online.
How long of a wait will this be if you're ordering online?
They said 2 to 3 months.
That's a lot longer than you're used to waiting for a new car.
Absolutely.
It's trending. More than half of all buyers say they're willing to build their car to order.
Number four. Quote, you may have noticed that you're paying a lot more at the pump these days. And if you can believe it, the price of gasoline has actually shot up 40.8% since Biden first entered the White House.
Why is the price of gas going up? Normally, gas gets cheaper the first few months of a new year as cold weather tends to keep us at home. But in 2022, the price is going up. There are several factors driving that increase, but tensions half a world away aren't helping. As the world watches and waits to see if Russia will invade Ukraine, oil traders are getting nervous. That is driving up the price. Russia produced more than a tenth of the world's oil in 2020, and military conflict or sanctions could disrupt that flow. Oil production is another factor. Countries have been ramping up production, but global levels are still below pre-pandemic levels. In the U.S., Shell's decision to close a refinery near New Orleans and weather woes reduced refining capacity by nearly 3%. That has some analysts betting we could see record high averages for a gallon of gas in the U.S.
And by the way, oil just went to $100 a barrel. Pre-war, what do you think is going to happen if we actually go to war? You think it's high now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Number five, the price of lumber is surging again. Remember all the lumber costs?
The price of lumber has been on a roller coaster since the start of the pandemic, and it's climbing a big hill again. After falling back sharply from a record high in May of last year, it began to rise in December. It's now about 22% lower than that peak, but still about three times its average pre-pandemic price. That, of course, is adding to the cost of both building a new home as well as remodeling an older home. The National Association of Home Builders recently estimated that the latest price jump added more than $18,600 to the price of a newly built home. It also added nearly $7,300 to the cost of the average new multifamily home, which translates into households paying $67 a month more on rent on a new apartment. Now, there are several reasons behind the inflation, but it's mostly that sawmills just can't keep up with the demand. You can see it when you compare sawmill output to housing starts. Not even close. They dropped production sharply at the start of the pandemic and never really recovered, especially when it came to getting enough labor to do it.
So what this is doing, guys, it's forcing landlords and tenants to raise the prices of rentals. Go try to find an apartment. Go to find a rental property, a rental house, and you will see firsthand it is almost cheaper to buy a house and have a mortgage than it is to actually go rent right now.
Rent is on the rise in cities across the country, including Austin, Texas, where Shadow LaMare lives.
Over the course of the last 18 months, they have increased the rent by 40%.
Cities like New York, Miami, and Newark are seeing more than a 30% hike in rents, forcing millions to consider relocating.
That's a $600 increase a month. That's crazy.
And looking ahead, rent rates are expected to increase another 10% this year, according to a recent report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
Over the last 7 years, the rent has generally increased about 6%, and we usually fight with them on a regular basis to get it lower than that, because when I was working, my annual increase wasn't even close to 6%.
Shadow LaMare used to work as an accountant. She now collects $900 a month in disability benefits. She and her wife rent a two-bedroom apartment in Austin for $1,500 a month. That amount is set to increase 43% to about $2,200 a month, outpricing the tenants of 7 years.
Our rent is based on supply and demand. And that's always the answer when we talk to them. It's being forced, and we're not prepared. You know, we're not prepared to move right now. It's just a shame that they don't do anything to work with people that have been here so long.
A tough reality as workers return to cities and many local eviction moratoriums and rent freezes expire.
During the pandemic, people really went out and bought a lot of homes. They left the cities, moved to the suburbs and rural areas, and we saw home prices shoot up. More recently, people have been returning to cities, so home prices are up pretty much across the board. Low mortgage rates contributed to that. And now with the return to cities and also the end of the eviction moratorium, there has been a lot of demand for rents.
A high demand, far outnumbering the supply of affordable homes.
Millennials are entering into homeownership age. They're starting families. They're getting married. They're going out on their own and wanting either an apartment or a home. And they're finding out there just aren't enough out there for everybody who wants one.
Economists say the rent issue can have ripple effects across the broader economy, and that the government can introduce policy changes to bring some relief.
In the short term, the government can look into providing rent relief so that it's more affordable and people can afford both their rent and things like groceries and gas and all that in the short run. But the long run problem is really the supply of housing.
With no other choice, Shadow and her wife plan to hit the road in search of an affordable home.
We'll check out some areas, and obviously, you know, we're looking at like staying outside of the city so it's not as expensive. We are totally not prepared, but I'm sure that we'll work it out.
So I should note, a lot of these major cities did offer deals back in 2020 when a lot of people were leaving the cities and landlords were struggling to find renters, right? And this is an examination of the year-over-year increase. But an increase in rent broadly across the country is a huge issue right now. And part of that's because of the lack of new homes on the market and population growth. Take a look at this. The federal mortgage lender Freddie Mac found that the market only added 65,000 new homes back in 2020. And that compares to back in the late 70s, there were about 400,000 new homes built a year. And during that same time period, the population increased about 100 million people. And obviously, it's not one person living in every household, but you kind of get a picture and perspective of how different the market looks like than it did in the past.
Pressure has been building on the Federal Reserve to take action because of these unprecedented situations taking place. And it is being anticipated that the hierarchy at the Federal Reserve could raise interest rates by 50 basis points next month. Quote, the hot inflation readings led financial markets to price in a better than even chance of a 50 basis points interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve next month. Inflation is running well above the U.S. Central Bank's 2% target. Economists are expecting as many as 7 rate hikes this year alone. Now, guys, we can't sustain that. How big is the bubble going to get before it burst? And what's going to be the repercussions of that burst of that bubble? And again, could a possible war taking place be the needle that pops the bubble. I don't think it takes an economist, somebody working on Wall Street, somebody working at the stock market. I don't think it takes a financial guru to figure out real quick that we can't handle that kind of repercussion, that kind of pressure, that kind of disasters. And listen, we haven't even gotten into spring yet. And when you get into the spring and you get into, again, I'm speaking for America, we get into Tornado Alley and we get into places where there is severe catastrophic weather disasters. And by the way, if the winter of this year is any indicator of what it's going to be like in the spring, guys, you better buckle up and get ready, because we've had record-breaking snowstorms and all kinds of stuff. We've had tornado outbreaks this year in the middle, in December, January? So we haven't even got into the peak of tornado season yet. So this is, again, this is all happening in real time. Now I want to shift gears, and I want to talk about our last story today. This one is going to be intriguing. I think you're going to like this. Let me give you this scripture. Actually, you know what? Let me give you this. Let me give you this headline first, and then we'll go to the scripture. This was an article by Israel 365 Breaking News yesterday. I'm going to read this. And here's the headline. Quote, Israel hit with 2 earthquakes in 10 hours, 4 in 1 month, accelerating Messiah's arrival. Interesting. And then there's what's interesting about this. I'm going to read a little bit of this article, and then I'm going to give you a scripture here. 2 earthquakes have shook the northern. Now, again, this was yesterday. 2 earthquakes shook the northern Israel region within a few hours, bringing the total of earthquakes in Israel this month alone up to 4. Scientists are issuing dire warnings of imminent doom. Again, that's not my words. I'm reading to you from Israel 365 News. Now, by the way, guys, this is not the first time that they have warned about this. Let me pull this up. I'm going to read this to you. This was an article that was posted several years back. In fact, it was 3 years ago when there was a cluster of earthquakes that took place there. And according to this report, geologists in Israel are on edge because a, quote, a big one or a large earthquake is what they say overdue. So it's, and let me read the rest of this. And in southern Israel, it's very overdue. Israel is riddled with fault lines. That is because it sits on the Sinai microplate, which geologists mostly agree is a subjection of the gigantic Nubian plate. In fact, the whole Middle East is in a tough neighborhood because it's all connected together with these series of fault lines. Now, what's interesting about this is when you go to prophecy, I'm going to show you a verse of scripture. In fact, let me go there now. Revelation chapter 11 is where I'm going to go. If you have a Bible, you can go there. But I'm going to go back to this article. I'm going to read just a little bit more of this. Scientists are issuing a dire warning of imminent doom. I just showed you why. Geologists and scientists are concerned because just like America is overdue on the West Coast for the, quote, big one, Israel is also overdue for the, quote, big one. That is, it's not a matter of if, but when it blows. But rabbis point to the prophecies as proof that people who have faith have nothing to fear, and even that the Messiah's arrival is speeding up. And what's interesting is Israel put in place a new warning system regarding earthquakes, and it's called the Torah, and it actually in Hebrew means shofar blast. I thought that was interesting. This is the new early warning earthquake system. The system was installed in 2019. It's composed of 120 sensors running along a 400-kilometer length of the Dead Sea Rift from the stretching to the Golan Heights, and can issue an earthquake warning of several seconds up to several minutes, depending on the location of the earthquake's epicenter. Again, they've had a series of earthquakes, 3.6, a 3.8. There was a 3.1, a 3.5. There was even a higher one in the low fours. A seismologist at the Geological Survey warned a, quote, strong earthquake is expected to occur in our area soon. We know they occur. I'm sorry, quote, we know they occur is a cycle of about 100 years. In other words, he's saying they're long overdue. Now, what I find interesting about this is you have the New Madrid, the Hayward, the San Andreas fault. All these faults are overdue for a large event. The Bible calls it great earthquake. The word great in Greek is megos or mega. So you have those fault lines in America, but then you have these series of fault lines running through Israel, and the USGS is saying the same thing there, that all of these regions are overdue for a large catastrophic event. That's very intriguing to me. Now, on January 11th, a 6.6 magnitude earthquake was recorded off the coast of Cyprus. This quake was felt all through Israel, as well as in other locations across the region. In early February, another quake off the coast of Cyprus was felt in Israel, and what the Geological Survey Department there in the Mideast said was an aftershock. Now, quote, again, this is the article. It should also be noted that massive earthquakes in Israel are also part of the prophesied end of days. Now, I want to give you where this is the scripture that they're giving. So I want to read this to you. And this is out of the book of Zechariah, Zechariah 14, verse 8. That's what we're going to pull up here. Zechariah 14, verse 8. This is the passage that they quote in this article. And in that day, it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea, and both summer and winter shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall be the Lord is one and his name one. And they say that there's going to be an event that, and many scholars say that the Lord himself will set foot on the Mount of Olives, and it will split. You can read about this in the book of Revelation, and here they refer to this in Zechariah. But I want to show you one that I think is even more intriguing as prophesied, and it's found in Revelation chapter 11. In Revelation chapter 11, starting at verse 1, I'm going to kind of give you a synopsis of what this is. There is a physical temple that is measured that will be in Jerusalem, in Israel. And it says here, quote, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. This is not in heaven. People, I don't understand where they get the interpretation of this. And they say, well, this is not on earth, it's in heaven. No, I can prove to you that it's on earth in just a minute. This is where they talk about the rebuilding of the temple. This is where they're talking about this. All right, listen to this. Revelation rise and measure the temple of God, the altar and those who worship there, but leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. Again, that's not happening in heaven. And for all the people, all the replacement theologists that say that we are the temple, guys, really, this is not talking about us and our bodies. This is talking about a physical temple in Jerusalem. Now, you'll get people to try to dispute me on that. But again, listen, one of the things you learn about interpreting scriptures, when the plain sense of the scripture makes sense, seek no other interpretation. This scripture is plain. It does not need to be sought out, no other interpretation of it. All right, listen to this. And they who, the Gentiles, will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. He gives you a timeline. And quote, and I will give power to my two witnesses. This is the Lord speaking to John, who's writing this in the book of Revelation. He says, I will give power to my two witnesses. This is not two nations. There's so many goofy interpretations on this. This is two individuals. Listen to me. It's either Elijah and Enoch or Elijah and Moses. I'm not here to dispute that, but I will dispute with you that it's two individuals and two men and it's not two nations. There's a very popular YouTube channel out there that did a whole YouTube channel or a YouTube video on the revealing of the two witnesses. And he tries to tell you that these two witnesses are two nations. Makes no sense at all. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. Watch this. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Quote, verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These who, the two witnesses, have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And that's why a lot of people believe one of them is Elijah, because Elijah did that in the Old Testament. And they have power over waters to turn them into blood. That's where they believe that it's Moses. But the reason why a lot of believe that it's that Enoch and Elijah, the two prophets or the two witnesses, is because neither Elijah nor Enoch ever saw physical death. Remember, Enoch was walking with God and was not, and he was taken by God. He was taken in heaven, never saw physical death. Elijah was taken in a chariot of fire, never saw physical death. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Now, again, so there's a theory, Elijah and Enoch, Elijah and Moses, but that's not what we're focused on today. These have power to do these things and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Now listen to verse 7. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them. Again, this is all future tense. This is in the tribulation. And will kill them, the two witnesses, not two nations. The beast is not going to kill two nations. Watch this. Now, here it is. Watch this. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. This is Jerusalem and Israel, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies lying in the streets 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. Guys, listen to me. It's not two nations. Two nations are not going to get on board of planes and trains and automobiles and all these other modes of transportation. And two nations are not going to go and fly down and travel to Jerusalem. And you've got two nations standing there prophesying for 42 months. No, it doesn't line up with scripture. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Listen to this. Make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets, how many? Two prophets, not two nations, two prophets, tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now you say, well, that's great, but we're not doing a study on the two witnesses. We're talking about a prophetic earthquake. I know that, but I had to get you to that part, and that's where I want to go now. So right here on your screen, Revelation 11. Look what it says, and I'll read it from here on the screen so you guys can see this. Revelation 11, 11 through 13. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, the two witnesses, and great fear fell upon those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Oh, come on, somebody. You know what's interesting about that? Oh, that very thing is the same thing that John heard in Revelation 4. Listen to this. Listen to what John said. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. John heard this twice. Come up here. And I'm going to tell you a third time it's going to happen. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, where also, there's a mention of a voice, a trumpet, and individuals being caught up. Now, if there's a voice and there's a voice speaking as a trumpet, and there's a group of people, the dead first, and then those that are alive and remain are being caught up in the air. I just wonder, just maybe, if the voice they hear says, come up here. Wow. And when John heard come up here, Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says, and the voice says, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. So John hears a voice say, come up here. The voice sounded like a trumpet. He's immediately in the spirit before the throne of God. And then the Lord says, now that you are here, you're up here with me in the presence of the Lord, now I'm going to show you what must take place after this. And consequently, after that is when the real part of the tribulation begins. Wow. So I got to go back to Revelation 11. John hears a loud voice from heaven speaking to the two witnesses laying on the streets dead. And the voice speaks and says, come up here. And look what happens. They ascended to heaven in a cloud. Wow. Oh, that's right. That happened also in Acts chapter 1. And their enemies saw them. But listen to this. All, for everybody that wants me to get to the earthquake, verse 13, and in the same hour, there was a great earthquake. Again, the word great in Greek is megos, mega. That's the same reference to mention in Luke 21, Matthew 24, where it speaks of, and there will be great earthquakes in various places. It says in Jerusalem, when this event happens, when the two witnesses are raised from the dead, with a voice from heaven, the, oh, come on, somebody, the power that is generated from that event will be so powerful that it will trigger a great earthquake. And the Bible says a tenth of the city of Jerusalem will fall, and the earthquake, 7,000 people will be killed, and the rest will be afraid and give glory to the God of heaven. Y'all see that? That's in Revelation 11. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about God is giving us prophetic previews of what's coming. We are, oh, come on. We are hearing and we are seeing the hoof prints of the four horsemen, the black horse of famine. We're seeing the hoof prints of the red horse of war. We're seeing the hoof prints of the Antichrist and the horse he rides on, where he brings in a diplomacy of peace when the world is falling apart, when the world is looking for peace, when the world is looking for solutions and answers. The Antichrist will show up on the scene. And by the way, you've heard me preach this. I believe that because of the large percentage of rabbis and mystics in Israel and Orthodox Jews in Israel that are not messianic, and they are involved deeply in Kabbalism and all kinds of other false religions, they are not looking for the Messiah, son of David. The Messiah that they're expecting and looking for, I believe, is going to show up, and he's going to appear in Israel, but he is going to be what the Bible indicates and reveals as the Antichrist. And they are going to eat this guy up. They are going to just welcome this guy in. They're going to embrace him in. This guy's going to bring all the answers. He's going to bring all the solutions. He's going to bring the diplomacy of peace, according to what Daniel said. And all the while this is going on, are you listening to me, guys? We can hear, we're hearing and seeing prophetic things happening. These earthquakes generated in Israel is sounding the alarm for those who have discernment, for the sons of Issachar who understand the times and seasons, and they know the word of God. They understand Bible prophecy. They understand that it's not a matter of if, but when these events will take place. You, listen, Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39. You know who's involved in that? Russia. Who is in the spotlight right now? Who's on every news station right now? Russia. Again, the stepping stones are happening. The puzzle pieces are falling into place. You know who? But here's the real key, guys. Let me close with this. Here's the exciting part. Israel, according to Matthew 24, is the fig tree. And Jesus said, when the fig tree begins to blossom, when its branches begin to bloom and it begins to bud, you will know that summer is near, yea, even at the door. So in other words, let me, in modern vernacular understanding, I don't really know how to really articulate how to say this, but here's what it means. If you want to know who the major timepiece, the major prophetic piece of the puzzle, watch the nation of Israel. Watch what happens with Israel, because they are the fig tree. So when Russia is now coming into play, Ukraine's coming to play, America's getting involved in this, no doubt the West will get involved in this. You're going to see other Middle Eastern countries that are probably going to get pulled into this thing. And guys, everything is falling into place. Boom, 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 boom. All the stage is being set. The stage is being set with the birth pangs of the Messiah. The earth is groaning and travailing for the revealing of the sons of God. You're also seeing prophetic wars that are falling into place. But I want to remind you, the end is not yet. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end of the age shall come. So you know what that tells me? that even in the midst of all this, listen, if we go to war, then it has to, based on Bible prophecy, based on Matthew 24, it has to open the door for this gospel to go into locations that it has not been able to penetrate and go into. Because you can go and research, look at every war, look at every kind of conflict like this, and it has always opened the door somehow, some way, for missionaries, whatever the case would be, for the gospel to penetrate and get in there. Having said that, tomorrow's episode, I want to talk about a new revised report that's coming out of China. We're going to spend time and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And I'm going to talk about how that right there might be us, America, and Europe, and within the next decade if things don't change. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, we want to appreciate you guys taking the time out to come on here, listen to this, to the live broadcast, to the rebroadcast of this. Again, don't forget to download the app. Don't forget to subscribe. And if this ministry is a continual source of blessing to you, information, revelation, equipping, and you would like to pray about becoming a monthly partner and help us to continue to remain strong, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. And again, that is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that's our physical mailing address. We thank you for coming on here today. And again, tomorrow, don't forget to catch, don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. It's there are some stunning and chilling news coming out of China that we're going to talk about. And we may talk about a couple subjects like we did today. It may not be one topic, but we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss that in tomorrow's program to end this week's episodes of podcasts. So if you're watching by Rumble or YouTube, again, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Don't forget to hit that notification button so you can be notified of where we're going. Again, and I want to say this, guys, we're on alternative social media outlets. Don't rely on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, because these are the big tech giants. They're heavily involved in censorship, shadow banning, removing, deplatforming, all that. Again, find us on alternative social media outlets. We're on Telegram, we're on a Parler, we're on Getter, we're on Gab, we're on MeWe, we're on Rumble, we're all over the place. And that's why I always tell people, get the app. If you get the app, you bypass all that and you go straight to our ministry site where everything's going to be at, the podcast, the videos, the updates, the headlines, everything's going to be there. So again, we appreciate you guys. Listen, let me say a quick prayer over you guys before we sign off today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for today's broadcast. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has inspired this. I pray that God, that if there be anybody watching today or listening today, they're not right with you, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them, lead them unto repentance, lead them unto coming to the saving knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. If they're backslid in their way, I pray that they, Lord, just like the prodigal son, they would come to their senses and come back to the fold and come back to the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Lord, we pray for all of our partners, supporters of our ministry, those listening, our viewers today. We bless them today. We ask that the blessing of the Lord be upon your house today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his countenance be upon you. May he keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. May the angel of the Lord encampeth around about you and keep you from all your troubles. I pray that the angel of the Lord bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I profess and plead the blood of Jesus over your family. Listen, the Holy Spirit just prompted me this. If you have loved ones, family, neighbors, co-workers, whatever the case may be, if you have anybody in your circle of influence that is maybe in the military, maybe is in the reserves, maybe they've been deployed and they're right in the middle of all this mess and your heart is just burdened for them right now in the name of Jesus, come on, I want you to lift them up. Let's pray for them right now. Father, we ask that you would release your mighty angels to be with those men and women on the literal firing lines of what's going on. Lord, we ask that you would protect them and keep them in all of their ways. Lord, we release Psalm 91 over them, that, Lord, 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh their dwelling. Lord, we declare today in Jesus' name that no gun shall shoot them, no knife shall stab them, and no bomb shall harm them. No weapon formed or forged against them shall prosper in Jesus' name. I pray that every assignment of the enemy, every assignment of hell that would be perpetrated against our loved ones that are involved in this directly, Lord, would be exposed and be brought to the light in Jesus' name. And Lord, above all this, God, I pray for a divine intervention of the Holy Spirit. I pray that somehow they be connected with the Word of God there, the encounter with an angel of God, with the Spirit of God, a dream, a visitation, whatever it is, God, that you would get their attention and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. And all God's people pray this today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So God bless you guys. Again, we're signing off for today. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.